All right, we looked at providence overall the last time, and now it's very specific. It's providence over the weather. So that's why today we just worked it out to have lousy weather. We have had so much good weather that a bad day we're a little bummed about. But it's warm. It's probably the last 60s that we may see, but anyway. But we are November the 5th, so we cannot complain. All right, but it's the reason that you study things that are in nature is that the Bible does clearly state in Romans chapter 1 that God reveals himself through his creation. And we can understand who he is and how he works. And so this is very unusual, a study on this for one chapter, but I think it's very, very much of a blessing. And so weather is something that we often talk about, isn't it? I often will mention, oh, it's a beautiful day, or it's a lousy day, thanks for coming, or whatever, you know. And it's personal to all of us. We can't avoid it. We get out in the weather. Now, can you imagine living in days past where the weather, or in other places of the world, where the weather definitely personally affects you 24/7? We can escape the heat in air conditioning. We escape the cold in having heat, and there is a shelter that we can take. But even in our modern day, our dear brothers and sisters down in the southeast have found out that weather sometimes is very up close and personal. 26 or 7 strong fundamental Baptist churches were destroyed, and through the two different hurricanes, or very unusual. And then churches that we know personally have had damage that's going to take quite a bit to get fixed. And so to those folks, weather is a very real thing. And some of you have been through that. When we lived years ago in Germantown, we had several floods in our house. That's not fun. That's a mess. And some of those kind of things can be very, very disconcerting. But, you know, weather has all different, it can be misty, drizzle, rain, of course, driving rain, dazzling sunshine, which you love to be in a place like at a sunset. I was down at Lake Michigan, I think it was in June, I can't remember which park it was right on there, and had some rocks out in the water there, and obviously the sun doesn't set there, but the sunset the other direction brought some of the most beautiful jewel-like colors to Lake Michigan and to the area there. And so weather brings out the beauty of the Lord. You have the shimmering heat, the foggy, hazy kind of conditions, soft breezes, raging winds. And do they affect us a little bit? And I'm not talking about physically endangering us, but they affect our mood, doesn't it? If you had walked out in bright sunshine, perfect 75 degree temperature today, you might be a little bit more chirper than you maybe are, okay? You say, no, weather doesn't affect me. Yeah, right. Wait till the first freezing, icy sleet that you have to walk through and then clean up the mess on your deck or whatever. It does affect us, but we need to understand that God is over nature. Even though Satan is the god of this world, and I'm sure he uses nature on a regular basis to thwart the work of God, overall, God is in control, and what he allows Satan to do, we still know God allowed that. Now, you go back to the Garden of Eden, and everything was good. And most scholars and scientists believe that prior to the flood, that the Garden of Eden was watered by a mist from the ground. There was not the massive storms like we have. You had lush vegetation. You didn't have disease. You didn't have insects. For some of you, that's a big amen. And so everything was good. I got good news for you. There is going to be a new earth. It could be 1,707 years from right now. We have to go through the millennium and we have to go through the tribulation before we get there. But the new earth will be better than the Garden of Eden. And can you imagine You think of the most beautiful, lush places you've ever been. I've had the privilege of traveling to the tropics, or I was born in Miami, Florida. We go visit my grandmother there, and you know, some of those beautiful gardens and all. You get a little bit of a taste of sense of what it was like there in that day. And so for Adam and Eve, tending the garden was a delight all the time. And so weather was not an issue. It was just something that pointed to the goodness of God. But when sin came into the world in Genesis chapter 3, the ground was cursed, the world was cursed. And you look at Romans 8, and you also look at 1 Corinthians 15, you see the groaning of nature because of the curse. And honestly, folks, there is pain, suffering, agony everywhere, all across the world. And you hear of floods all the time. You know, we talk about our problems here, but it's tragic what happens in so many parts of the world. And there is just suffering between people. I was just told of a situation that where there's suffering in a family, not from here, but and so this world is cursed. Now, God did not take away the beauty of nature, but it is many times shrouded by the curse and situations that cause it to be blocked out. You would never have a rainy day in the Garden of Eden. You would not have had any forecasters telling you to watch out for tornadoes, a tornado watch or a warning. It was not that way. And so when you had mankind becoming so evil because of the curse, God definitely touched nature and the weather at what big event? The flood. The heavens opened. And it could well be that prior to that time, there may not have been storms as we know it. There may have still been the mist, but there was all kinds of issues. But people were living so long, there must have still been protection from the sun's rays and so forth. But the minute that happened, and you had the flood, all that vapor canopy was destroyed, and mankind's age began to go down quickly from 500 to 300 to 200 to 100. Now 310 is what is expected for the average, and it still is. After all, it's gone up a little bit, but actually it's sort of come down again. It's in the 70s range as far as what our life expectancy is, and so it's a it's sobering when you think of that. But God's hand was in the weather at Noah's flood, wasn't it? Mighty hand of God, along with all that he allowed to happen in the world. And so we need to realize in this creation that is groaning and travailing, that we're constantly seeing God's hand in all that is going on. And so it's important for us to understand that God does control the weather. And again, I want to say Satan will use the weather, but God allows him to use the weather to do whatever he does. But when Satan's behind it, we can pray and have victory. And it is amazing what God will do. And so weather does come from God. Turn with me to Job chapter 37. And I want you to look at it quickly, and then I want you just to talk out what weather events come from God that we find out there in Job chapter 37. Just look at that for a moment as God is dealing with Job there, and is speaking, and Elihu is giving this. And so what are some of the things that God does? Lightning, thunder, good. Tornadoes. Snow. Yeah, snow, rain. Whirlwind, yeah. It's all there. And so warmth and the cold, everything comes from the Lord. So that's interesting there. Of course, the secular thinking is that weather is just random. By the way, weather is in patterns. And I'm not going to get political on this, but this whole global, the climate change situation, there's a lot more behind it than just a scientific effort to see what's going on. And there's a great agenda behind it. Plus, it does come out of the worship of the earth that has gone on for ages. Now, we should be good stewards of the earth, and that is also important. But it is, you know, so interesting. We haven't had this, temperature since 1937. Well, they had it back in 1937. So, it does go in cycles. You have droughts, you have too much rain, and you have seasons of hurricanes, and you have better seasons, and that's what the Bible says. It just continues to go on. And so let's look at a little bit of why and or how God uses weather. First of all, she mentions to show his power. And you know, it is good to be humbled. You hate to see any suffering, but I'm telling you, when you see what weather does, if you've ever been caught in a major weather event, it really does bring you down to size. I watched a tornado go just south of me I was about a ninth grader in the second story of our house. It was all glassed in at the back. They had added, the people before us, a little addition on. It was one of the city houses there in Chicago. And dumb me, you know, I'm watching with all this glass, I was mesmerized. I mean, it was a tornado that took a bowling alley and just smashed it down, and people were in it. Took a school, and people were in the school. And it was a very major fatal tornado, and it was massive. And I watched it, and I began to watch the windows bulging, and I realized, you know, I need to get to the basement. So still had a little bit too much junior high in me. But anyway, my brain definitely had not developed like it should, but I did get down, so that's good. But it does truly humble you. To me, just being right next to the ocean and seeing the mighty waves coming in, I've been in Hawaii a couple of times, and those waves are unbelievable. All you have to do is get smashed by one. You know, we have no power against that. So God does display his power for the sake of people coming to him. It is his goodness to display his power. And so treacherous weather wakes us up. Jeremiah 14, and are there any among the vanities, speaking of the idols of the Gentiles, that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Are not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. And what did the Lord use? I won't get into it, but as you see God speaking to Job, at the end of Job, God speaks of all the mighty aspects of nature to tell Job, who do you think you are questioning me? And of course, Job very much responded, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I lay mine hand upon my mouth. And at times, God just wants to humble. You know, here we are, so scientifically advanced, and entire cities are destroyed. God, in one move, can do that. And during the tribulation, one half of the world's population will die. We are so vulnerable. You think about it humanly. We have no power. We have no way to protect ourselves, really. We're made in the image of God, so he's given us the ingenuity to do all that we do now scientifically. But even with that, they can only predict the weather, and even there, they're not 100% sure. They were absolutely certain the last hurricane was going to hit Tampa Bay square on, which would have been a disaster, and it didn't. It veered south. And so they cannot fully do that. And so we need to realize that God is in control of it all. Another reason God allows weather events to occur is to get our attention. We are so self-focused. I'm talking about believers here. The world definitely needs to be thinking about God, but oftentimes we need to realize that God does use the providential miracle of weather to work. In Joshua 10, you had the hailstones coming from heaven that destroyed the enemy. that destroyed more of the enemy than did Joshua and the nation of Israel. Do you think that got Israel's attention? Absolutely. Helped them realize they needed the Lord. I love the story in 1 Samuel chapter 12, where they wanted a king and they were going to set up the kingship. And Samuel warns them what it's going to be like. And he while he's speaking, a torrential rain came and destroyed all the crops at one time. Now, where was the economy based in Israel at that time? It was agriculture, and it was destroyed. And so God was showing Israel, you're depending upon a king, but if you're not depending upon me, you are in trouble. It was quite a display. They all fell on their faces before God because they knew exactly what God was doing. What did weather have to do with Jonah? The storm made him be thrown overboard, and God was getting his attention. And it was used of God to actually rescue Jonah from himself. Jonah still had a ways to go. And so it's very sobering. Now, when you study the book of Deuteronomy, and again, I'm not going to go there, you find the blessings and the curses. If Israel would walk with God, they would be blessed very specifically. If they disobeyed the Lord, they would be cursed. And part of the curse was weather that would be against them. And then when Solomon dedicated the temple and went through all that God had done and then repeated the matter of the curses of the that the Lord had given, he then gives us that wonderful promise in 2 Chronicles 2:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven. And in that, when he talks about healing the land, he's talking about healing the land from the destruction that weather would have brought, that would have destroyed their economy and bring them into great need. And so God does at times use the weather. Now let me just say this. We have to be careful here, and she's careful to mention it. You don't look at weather for believers. You don't look at anything as judgment. Your judgment was paid on the cross. That's a wonderful thing. Fully and completely paid. And God may chastise us individually through some events in our life just to get our attention, but it is never judgment. Does God judge nations? Well, that's a little different story. And in this day, God can do what he wants. We need to understand that. But if God does allow weather to create an issue, and I've had a few of those happen and had people that are close to me have weather issues, especially flooding and that kind of thing. Well, God's loving us. He's doing something. Satan may have attacked, but God will use it for good. But it's never judgment, so keep that in mind. Now, another reason that God allows weather events to come is so that we can pray for deliverance. He wants to answer prayer. And we need to keep that in mind. She gives the illustration how in her daughter's wedding, God provided relief over that. And I think I mentioned last week about how we prayed here and how God protected us. It was very interesting. I put up, we were starting the Victory Conference, and there was a massive storm, I mean a big one, a blizzard, that would have just probably put us out of commission right at the beginning of that conference. And we had quite a prayer meeting that night, and God gave us victory in our hearts. Well, in the morning, we got up, and there was no snow. And nowhere around Menominee Falls, and yet reports north of us, you know, northern Germantown got whacked, Racine got whacked. You had out in Pewaukee, they got whacked with a massive blizzard. But there's this circle, and so I put up on the there was a headline how it, I think it might even use a miracle of protection for Milwaukee, and there was this whole circle. All the way around, and God protected us. And I believe that was a direct answer to prayer. There's no other way to explain it. Did I mention about Brother Kittrell last week? I I think I did, about the rain not going on the concrete. And my grandmother, she would pray the weather away. It was amazing. And it, by the way, there's an illustration, though, of how God used weather. My grandmother and grandfather were in Miami, Florida, and they were, my grandmother had walked with God, but she married, she thought he was saved, but he wasn't, an unsaved Dutchman. And he went down to Miami and was quite successful down there. He had a good government job, but he also was quite an investor. They owned a lot of land. And so they were pretty high society, and Miami was small at that time in the social circles of Miami. And the Lord knew my grandmother's heart, and a huge hurricane came and wiped out everything they had. And then they had the land bust, so their values went down, and then they had the depression, all within 3 years. And he still had his job, but he had nothing else. He got bitter. My grandmother learned to walk with God. And I'm here today because of a hurricane. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't take that lightly, because hurricanes hurt people. So, but in this case, God used it in her life. There's a story that most of you could tell during World War II. I think you know this, but let me just read it because it's just good to remember it. In 1940, the Allied armies were battling the Nazis and were trying to annihilate, of course, God's chosen people, the Jews. Have you noticed in the news that somehow those going against Israel just have troubles? Have you noticed that? By the way, Israel, we need to be for Israel. That's a big deal. That may be one of the biggest parts of this election. That often isn't seen. But anyway, there were about 400,000 British and French troops trapped on the coast near Dunkirk. And you know the story. They're in France. It was they were in danger from the Nazi troops were coming. And the plan was to evacuate the Allied soldiers across the English Channel. But as they waited on the beach for rescue, the Luftwaffe came and started bombing them. And so a couple of thousand soldiers died or were suffering on the beach. So it was just a disaster. The Nazis were literally within days of having victory. Well, King George VI of England declared an emergency day of prayer, asking, and this is what he said, asking the nation to repent of sin and to beg for God's help. The people did respond, and the crowds went into churches to pray for deliverance, and God answered. A huge storm came up in northern France, grounding the German air force, the Luftwaffe. But the channel during the storm was calm. Absolutely calm. It would have been a raging mess. And then there was a thick fog that came over the channel. And hundreds of private boats crossed from England to the shores of Dunkirk. For 9 days, this fog set in. And the channel was calm. And all of the soldiers were evacuated at that time. That was God. There's no way around it. That does not happen. That was God. And that was the turning point of the war, because God stepped in and did that. So God is in control. And so everybody calls it the miracle of Dunkirk. So it is right to pray. Now God allows, obviously he wants rain to come. Sometimes that doesn't help our picnic any. You know, people will be praying for different things about weather all at the same time. You got a person over here wanting to picnic, and they're praying for a beautiful day. And there's a farmer over here desperate just up the road, and he's praying for rain. So it does get interesting. But God knows how to work all of that out. But, you know, it is right to pray at times for weather when it is for the cause of the Lord, and it is a critical time. And I do believe in the last hurricane that the prayers of God's people did make though a lot of folks were really hurt down there, did cause that hurricane to be a lot less at that time. And I believe God did work there. Another way is to reprove sinners. I alluded to this. I've been talking mainly about how we as believers should look at the weather. But God does allow weather to come. You had, of course, the flood. That's the biggest one of all that was had. You had the raining down of fire and brimstone, which is not normal weather, of course. You had places like wicked cities such as Port Royal, Jamaica, 1692. 4,000 people were devastated. That was probably they considered the most wicked place on earth, and God just wiped it out. It was gone. And so God does work to try to bring people to Him, and God still does deal with sin. One thing I'm concerned about all the time is we need to talk about God's grace all the time. We need to talk about how He loves us, how patient and long-suffering. But it doesn't change the fact that He hates sin. And we've got to understand that. And we've got to stand for what is right. Now, on the other side, on the positive, to show His goodness. We started with to show His power, but to show His goodness. And God is good to all. Psalm 145:9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Matthew 5:45, the Lord said, "He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." And so God does show forth His goodness with the weather. And we need to thank God for every good day. We need to thank God for His provision. By the way, snow is important. It is. Rain is important. Obviously, enough sunshine is important. We do live in a very good place, actually, because the cycle of seasons here keeps this place in pretty good shape. We have maybe some of the least crisis-type weather of any place you can find in America. I need to remind you in January when it gets minus 20 of that, but anyway, but you can go inside, okay, and you, unless your furnace is broken, and that's a bad deal. But God always takes care of us, and when the drought came because of Elijah's prayer, in fact, God caused Elijah to pray that it would not rain for 3 years because God had said if you go get into idol worship that there would be famine, and God answered that prayer. We know that Elijah prayed it because James chapter 5 tells us that. But during that time of famine, when everything ran out, did God take care of His prophet? He even had the birds take care of him. Oh, I'm telling you, there's story after story how God takes care of His people. That love Him. In some of the worst situations, God still provides for His people if they're really walking with Him. And it's a wonderful thing. Well, what should our response be? Everybody talks about the weather. Well, don't just talk about the weather. Talk about God when you talk about the weather. And use it as an opportunity to cause people to think about God and His providence. Somebody says, "A nice day, isn't it?" And I said, "You ought to say, well, aren't you thankful for the Creator that created this earth and how He takes care of us?" And that will, and that's not being in your face. That's just as from your heart, and it gives you an opportunity to say, I believe God created the heavens and the earth and the beauty of the earth, and because of that, I know that He loves me and He created me for Him. And boy, but you can get right into the gospel without being at all unique in doing it if you have a little bit of time. I'll just read her way she says it. "But what about those icky, sticky, yucky, ugly days?" Okay, I wouldn't normally say that, but icky, yucky, ugly days. That's pretty good. Now, the key there is, do you really believe He's in control? Do you think it's still a good day? Do you believe He may use that for good? Even sometimes weather rearranges your schedule. Well, then it's a divine appointment. Don't get all bummed out. I don't know how many times I haven't been able to go somewhere, fly somewhere at the time I wanted to fly somewhere, but then get on another flight later and there's a divine appointment. You just have to look at life as being under the sovereignty of Almighty God and to be encouraged by that. And that's a testimony. When somebody says it's a icky, sticky, yucky, ugly day, you can say, yes, it's not really good, but you know, God's so good to us. Even there, you can be a testimony. So now, the thing I want to say at the end here, because I need to go, if we can see and respond properly to the providence of God in weather, instead of just getting down when it's dark, up when it's bright, bounced around by how you feel because of the moods. And by the way, it's really difficult through November through February. People have emotional problems. But we need to realize, well, this is the way it is. This is how God has ordered things where we live here in this area. And this is a time when we need to trust God, realize His goodness is there. He will meet our needs. We can rejoice in Him. And we need to be thankful for everything that we have. And if you can see God in His goodness with the weather, then when other things happen, do you think you might be in better shape to let God show His providence and what He's doing in your life in that way? So, very interesting. Again, I love some of these topics because I probably would never have spoken to you about the weather. You know, that probably would never have come up in my list of things that I would cover with ladies, but she did, so I am, and I think it's a good thing. So today's going to be a little yucky. Okay, well, maybe it'll affect the election. Forget that, but anyway. But then, you know, weather does, but who knows which way it affects it. You know, it's just, it's interesting. It's not going to be a bad day, but let's rejoice and be glad that this is the day. Of course, I'm speaking of all that God's going to do, but the Lord has made. And I tell you what, on the gloomy days, that's the days when our Christianity ought to shine.